Call the order, it's out of District St. Mary's. It is a whole meeting. Today is Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. It is 5:00 PM. And because our municipal clerk is absent, I will do the roll call. I am Warden Fuller and I am here. Deputy Warden Malloy.
I'm here.
Officer Keating.
Here.
Officer O'Connell. I am here. Officer Beaver, President, is the rest. Also in attendance is CAO Leslie McFarland, Director of Finance and Treasurer Mary Fraser, Director of Community Development and Recreation Mallory Tebow, and Director of Public Works Teddy Stevens. We've all been provided a copy of the agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda? Hearing none, can I make a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Beaver?
Second.
Officer O'Connell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Agenda is approved. Before you have the minutes of admitting the whole meeting, held on Tuesday, March 24th, 2026, are there any errors or omissions to those minutes? There are none, the minutes are approved. Business arise from minutes. This time, there are none. Which brings us to our presentation tonight. Our annual presentation.
Yes. Feels like I was this year. So my name is Kara Allen with the Coastal Nova Scotia. I work with the membership of the Resident Services side. So we're just going to go through our annual presentation.
Just scroll, it should. Sensitive.
Perfect. So our foundation pillars for Coastal Nova Scotia, we do the destination marketing, visitor services, events, and partnerships. And we're getting ready for our annual gala joints coming up on April 16th. The Chippewa Wellness Center in the county. And it's our annual event celebrating tourism. But there is somebody from here not receiving an award this year. So who is that? If you're interested in purchasing tickets, we can invoice those. Let me know how many you buy. And so we do our digital marketing, we have our Coastal Nova Scotia website, which also has our events listed for each of our areas that we cover. So we cover Pictou County and Vanish and the Eastern Shore. And we look after staycations, community contacts. We have two Facebook pages right now. And we, last year, we switched from a guide format for tourism guide to a guide map format. Brought some with me today to leave if you need them. So on one side, it has the Dysro County map. And then on the other side, it has all of the pertinent information listings, which would have all been in the guide. We just kind of have a different format. So everybody has the option to either have a map and a guide all in one. So that was new. We got that midsummer. So we're not doing another print right away because we still have one last year. Once we get ready to print again, we'll be reaching out to different people to make sure there's no changes or adjustments that need to be made. And then have the planning session to listen. So our visitor services, we have in-person counseling, we have eight visitor information centers that kind of assist in our region. And we support Dysro County with around $13,000 funding that we get from the province of Nova Scotia funding through us. And we help with catering training, promotions, and ongoing policy updates all summer. We course, in-person classroom is always really important. People like that in-person opportunity to speak. Hear from the locals, what's going on. And then we have our digital newsletter that we send out in the wintertime. It comes out every month. In the summertime, it's a weekly event session. And also shares important information like funding opportunities for businesses. They have a digital content marketing program. And then just all of the different events. So we have the Eastern Shore list, and then we have the Northumberland Shore list. And then we have strategic partnerships. So we have our events on the scholarship for 2025. We have our ambassador program, which is retirees that help out at the Visitor Information Center. So it's an opportunity to stay open longer, and we can do a year-round when there's tournaments at the Wellness Center. We have our ambassadors there. And Anna Ganesh is using them as well. Just to help out keep the centers open longer. And then the Guysburg County Tourism Association. And then our revenue. So regional projects, 35%, municipal investments, 13%, revenue running 52%. And then expenses, regional projects, 27.9%, operations is 6%, marketing levy is 50%. Point two, salaries and benefits are 15.9%. And our total budget is about $450,000 per year. Thank you for your ongoing support. Is there any questions? Yes, James.
Would you there's something different this year that perhaps the others would like to hear, mm-hmm. that's no longer Eastern Shore.
So we're kind of shifting a little bit where Destination Halifax is kind of looking after the Halifax end of the Eastern Shore. Mind you, on our website and events listings right now, everything's all everything. But eventually it'll switch over to a Guysburg County focus in Eastern Shore. Which would be hard to get used to because we're so used to going all the way into HRN. Yeah. If you think we had such a big area, it'll be small all of a sudden.
The Visitor Information Centers.
Yes.
Do we still have?
Yes.
Those?
Yeah. So ours are regional centers. So we weren't affected by provincial closures. So we still have the ones that can handle it here, and the dogs are all good. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Do you keep track of the numbers because we have each year?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to actually give those to the province, which reflects on the funding every year as well. So all of the visitor information centers submit their daily statistics for the month to me, mm-hmm. and then I'll send it to you. We keep track, and then they send it to the province as well. That's part of their operation agreement with us to get that funding.
Did you notice any change?
Every year, I've been doing this to my 25th year in tourism, so I've seen a huge shift. And no internet to me, all of a sudden, everything's just in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
We still always get the Ontario and Quebec. A lot more staycationers doing more of that. And just depending on the center. I mean, River Village is a little bit different, but it's in a village. People are, visiting historically. And then they might ask the question, well, I'm heading to blank. Mm-hmm. Help me out. Very good, visitor information center in a hockey arena. Mm-hmm. People actually look for us to come in to ask questions. And it could be from anything from, where can I go to get groceries to, I'm heading to the Peat God here that I heard it's busy, or mm-hmm. heading this year before the road conditions, those kind of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one final question. Mm-hmm. That is that you mentioned, of course, the volunteers.
Yeah.
Do we have volunteers here in Sherp that?
I don't think they have them at the villages. They usually just have two staff members, but look after the VFC there. And I think they kind of do that just because it's within the village, so they're not always just asking, answering questions about visitor information. It's about the village too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right there in the
session. Yes. Yeah. But we're always open to, you know, assisting getting a volunteer
so
thing started.
Yeah.
When you've done that before with the Annie Ganesh Center, we usually host a lunch and learn type situation where we'll offer lunch and people will come and, you know, we come and do our spiel saying this is what we expect. And most of our volunteers have been doing it for years and they like 3 hours a week that they commit to.
Yeah, that's nice.
But it helped.
Yeah, that's a fun thing.
And we started it in 2015, and that was just to kind of assist with keeping our center open later in the evening, and not having our summer staff there by themselves. But then it ended up being like, you know, people that were wanting to become teachers, for instance. Well, the person that they were volunteered with was a teacher. So then they, you know, almost like a mentorship in a way. Yeah.
I just have a quick question about you had shown the page with like the events or such.
Yeah.
Do people contact to submit their?
Yeah. So
is the girl one? If you have shown on that, like.
Yeah. So I'm the one that was that girl that. But it's good. So
if you go on the website and go on the events listed, so at the very top it says submit an event and then connect with the event. And then I have to actually say yes or no to it. Or you do the event and then, you know, if you're done. Some people aren't comfortable being putting their own information, they'll send just me and my.
Yeah. And our events actually on our website gets onto the Guys River Tourism Association website too. So all those events are uploaded through us.
On distribution.
Yes.
And then you notice in your pamphlets, mm-hmm. you do a lot of coverage. You were mm-hmm. still getting going.
Yes.
Focusing on Guys River.
Yeah. Yeah. We have people that help us out with all of that as well. Anne Marie. The Seaman Lamb, she's really hands-on doing all of this. There's like usually about 5 of us that look at it and say, you know, what did we miss? Unfortunately, we did miss that. So I'll make note of that on my notes when I get home about the restaurant icon. And maybe it was just because it wasn't on the old map. I don't know. I don't know how we had an older map that we kind of used as the jump start and then things always get mixed. Yeah. And that's what a lot of the visitors ask. You know, you can get McDonald's anywhere, but they want to know where the best fish and chips are or, you know, where's the best homemade bread for the sandwich. Yeah. Thank you. And we're just requesting the same that we've always requested.
So I was going to say, time you come, you're always looking for money.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So it's we haven't changed our ask in the years. So it's $4,064.34 is what we're requesting again. And we can send you.
In that case, I would be looking for somebody to recommend and then someone else to second. The council released the 2025-26 grant funding at $4,016.34 in coastal Nova Scotia under the 2025-26 economic development tourist budget.
I will make that recommendation.
And I was talking about Jeffrey Gilmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
It is your name.
And with the gala, were you wanting?
Where are the tickets?
Well,
let me. Who's?
Okay.
You don't have it yet.
Yes. Okay.
See who's going.
Yeah. I don't know who the winner is. They don't even tell me that because I don't think they trust me.
They can Yes, it is somebody local within Sherbrooke.
Yeah.
And we try to do that every year, make it so that it's, you know, the winners are just here.
Yeah.
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 That's fair. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Yes, I will.
Did you want me to leave them over?
You just leave them in.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
And if you need more, just let us know.
I have some, yeah, how I talked about it yesterday and I have to bring them.
I would use a lot of more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have our Pictou County guides and our Antigonish guides that we're in the midst of getting printed to. We usually do a run of delivering. So we do hand deliver to the village. So when we do that, I'll make sure that we've gotten one of those things.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good one, Russ, for me.
Russ is born.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, for eight other matters of business. Staff report, water main replacement.
Okay, well, we're all aware of the major reason we had in January this year. Orange main line that feeds the entire west side of the distribution system suffered a major leak. There's a temporary above ground repair made at the time. It was also discovered during this time that some electrical components and the pipework failed also. Westside water distribution system depends on this line to be supplied clean drinking water. Currently, there's a temporary above ground 2-inch bypass installed to supply the Westside water. While completing the repair, the electrical box feeding the heat trace was found to be corroded, causing public safety risk. As authorized by the CAO policy, section 6.1.0, the CAO has approved an emergency expenditure of $1,744.20 plus HST to repair the electrical box and install a new heat trace controller to address this issue. The planned approach for this project is to replace the existing leaking pipe with a new section of mainline piping as soon as it crosses the ground in the spring. Funding of $15,000 for this project is included in the municipality's 26-27 capital budget planning sourced from the Canadian Canada Community Building Fund. For the water line repair itself, there were quotes requested from different providers. However, only one quote is received in time. This is consistent with attempts made during the service auction in late January, at which time only one company, Francis J. Hill Construction Limited, was identified who could respond. Francis J. Boyle Construction Limited performed the emergency repair work in timely and high quality fashion at a very reasonable price. This company is recommended by other local municipalities for their expertise in water main line repairs installation. Boyle Construction provided a quoted price of $9,000 plus HST. This is an all-inclusive price from start to finish. Although the 26-27 budget will not be presented for council approval until the annual AGM meeting on April 27th, pre-budget approval is requested to allow the work to proceed in advance of the construction season to ensure completion of the work for site. Now for the electrical repair. Quotes were requested from different providers for the electrical box and heat trace components. Sherbrooke Electrical provided a quote for $1,744.20 plus HST. For the replacement of the electrical box and the heat trace controller, despite multiple attempts, there was no other quotes received. So the total project cost of all the repairs, there's a budget of $15,000, including any cost for site remediation, dump switch power, as well as a small amount of contingency funding.
Two recommendations for structural completion of the work in a timely manner. Council provide pre-budget approval to award Francis J. Boyle Construction Limited the purchase and installation of the materials to complete the permanent repair of the water main in the public farm parking lot at a cost of $9,000 plus HST with the funds to be sourced from the Canada Community Building Fund. And I have someone
We should take that, accept that recommendation.
I'll make that motion.
Deputy Warden Mordei and second by Pastor Benoit, all those in favor?
Aye.
And certainly on the, to authorize the emergency expenditure of $1,704.20 plus HST show of electrical for the essential service repair of the heat trace controller electrical box. People with our parking lot with plastic doors from the Canada utility box.
I'll make that recommendation.
Pastor Campbell?
What's that for me?
Pastor Field, all those in favor?
Aye.
You guys did a great job of it, and even finding this stuff. If you're not, you're going to share with some people.
No problem. One question that is, the emergency repairs that, or the initial repair that included.
No, no, it's not, no, that was invoice two was prior, I can't remember the exact dollar figure. $4,000, I think. I think somewhere's where I invested.
So that included any?
Nope, because $15,000. The $15,000 is included in the 2627 budget. And so that's why we're asking for pre-budget approval and emergency expenditure authority to spend money for the 2627 budget is approved. So that's what these two are about, is spending pre-budget funds before the 2627 budget is approved. Whereas the repair in January, February was at $3,536 times and was within the CAO authority limit per the CAO policy.
Okay, so that's already paid.
Yeah, that's separate entirely. Yes.
And I could leave.
No, they will.
Moving on to what, this is your bike.
Yes.
What are being replaced?
Okay, during the UARB rate review in 2025, water meters within the distribution system are aging and need to be replaced. This has been suggested to take place over a four-year span. This project involves staff installing meters that have been purchased using the Canada Community Building Funds. Water utility relies on water meters with the property to be able to track all the water residents use and to be able to build the property. The UARB has suggested to replace the meter, which is starting with the oldest, the property to track and build water from customers' usage. A total of 134 meters are to be replaced by 2029, or approximately 35 meters per year. Dock and meters purchased in 2526 will be installed by the end of June, at which time an additional meters will be required. This project is included in the municipality's 2627 capital budget planning, with the Canada Community Building Fund as the source of funds. Quotes for meters were requested from three providers. Flowstar has provided a quote for $6,294.75 of HST for the provision of 25 new water meters. Lead time for the water meters is 4 to 6 weeks. There have been no other quotes received for these meters. Flowstar is the main service provider for the Neptune meters that the water utility uses. Approving this project at this time will allow the purchase order to be placed as soon as the budget is approved. This will ensure the meters are delivered before the existing stock runs out. Short meter installations remain on track as required by the UARB.
Recommendation is subject to 2627. Kind of the budget included that council recommend awarding the Flowstar, awarding to Flowstar the purchase of 25 new water meters at the cost of $6,294.75. Plus HST to maintain proper water usage tracking and billing, with the funds to be sourced from the Canada Building Fund. Have somebody do that.
I'll make that motion.
Deputy Warden Mordei, is there a second?
I'll second.
Pastor Campbell, all those in favor? Recommendation is approved. Did you get a hot dog, Pastor? If you have.
15 done, and we've got 15 more to go.
And last but not least, a subject is in our minds for over a year.
The acquisition of a work truck for the public works operators is needed for various tasks. Some of these tasks include transport crew members to job sites, haul tools and equipment, deliver construction materials to site, move debris from roadsides and work zones, trees, limbs, brush after trimming, haul garbage from all sites, various materials for water and wastewater operations. Currently, public works operators use personal vehicles for all public works operations stated above, resulting in wear and tear on personal vehicles. There are three options for the acquisition of the public works vehicle. Below is an estimated comparison of a 10-year cost analysis for the three potential options. Cost estimates are composed of purchase price, insurance, estimated regular maintenance, fuel, tires, etc. The first estimate is for purchasing new, and for a 10-year cost estimate is approximately $165,653. For leasing the same vehicle, the cost would be $274,263 over a 10-year span. And the estimated price of purchasing a used vehicle would be $175,808 for a 10-year span. These 10-year cost analysis consist of all-inclusive cost estimates for each of three options. This project is included in the municipality's 26-27 capital budget planning in the amount of $55,000 sourced from the municipal capital reserves. After initial investment, any expenses will become operating expenses.
Can you explain, as I did to the W1 earlier, the difference between the used price and the new price? Used price being significantly higher?
Yes. The used price, that's based on the estimated maintenance costs. When you purchase a used vehicle, you really don't know what you're going to get, and there's really no way of estimating the actual maintenance costs. Historically, over a 10-year span, the maintenance costs are going to be significantly higher. When purchasing new, you would have 5 years warranty, 3 years bumper to bumper, 5 year powertrain warranty, which you would not have on a used vehicle. So there are historic trends of new versus used.
Upfront costs as
well. Upfront costs would be less for a used vehicle, yes, but it's the maintenance costs that will creep up a lot quicker than purchasing new.
Excuse me.
In case we have a recommendation, the council review the three previous considered options and provide direction on the further and direct staff to return to the retail cost estimate before reaching a final decision. Do we have an agreement on that direction? On that review price?
Yes. I just can't see purchasing a used one for $10,000 more than what a new one would be. I was just confused over the pricing when I saw it.
That's the sustaining.
It's a 10-year cost.
Oh, 10 years.
So, sure, the upfront cost would be significantly different.
Yeah.
But 5 years, you wouldn't have to pay for any maintenance, like Penny just said.
Yeah.
Oh, and yes. You're buying a public works vehicle,
yeah,
which could be rather heavily used. Depending.
Yep.
So we're making assumptions here about what the maintenance cost might be, but it's not at all unreasonable to assume you could be in some pretty significant repair costs. And I know we did check with other municipalities, and it's very common base that use the approach of purchasing new for that reason, because you understand what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And that's what those costs are.
And some of the assumption that they'll have a 10-year lifespan on the asset.
Right.
Once the 10 years is up and actually the 5 years is up, they actually own the asset. And that's
right.
So we should go for new?
Well, we're asking for direction.
Yeah.
Do you want us to try to go to getting a new vehicle, or would you rather us looking at leasing, or would you rather us looking at purchasing used? That's the
Yeah, I myself would go looking for new. You don't want Aye.
Well, with the figures that are here, it's reasonable to assume that purchasing new is the better route, of course. So, I mean, again, and these are based on, pardon the past, figures that we.
Harry and myself spent a lot of time researching this and trying to put the road office, spent many hours researching these, all three options. Got the sort of trends of vehicles, new vehicles, maintenance costs, and, yeah, we spent a lot of time. Doing extra and put any air out.
Yeah, no, completely understood, yeah.
And from what I, like, read here, this is the estimated cost for basically everything for the.
Everything.
Yeah, insurance, everything.
Yeah.
Inspections.
Breaks
every 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think personally, I mean, by looking at the figures, purchasing new looks the most reasonable. But maybe just to have as a recommendation, that is for a little more information. Like some in-depth options, and maybe like, I'm not sure how much you will get from like vehicle A to vehicle B by new, like company to company and just.
I did some research on that here website, seeing what was awarded on there and the figures that were awarded. Brands or whatever, I was just looking at the price tag. The last couple of years, they were awarded exactly what we were looking for, regular cable, the drive work truck in the low 50 range, 52-ish range. So that's what I based, that's what we based the price on.
Yeah. I would say, leasing is double, or not quite double, but.
Long.
Yeah, but he's not interested in it, or, yeah, that's not, it's not with the law.
You don't reckon it?
Yeah.
Lease. It's a work truck, and you bring it back, dent it, you're scratched, or anything like that, if you're into that, if you're into it.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah. I would say they're leasing.
So we're all agree with you and. Council reviewed the three stated options and preferred approach purchasing the public works vehicle. Directed request to return with, cost estimates. And staff. Direction.
Hey, how long do you think it'll take to dispute that, process, looking at purchasing a new one and.
You would have to publish an RFP.
Oh, yeah.
Probably take a couple, at least a couple of weeks to have the RFP drafted, proof and ready to post. And probably posted for a month, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you gonna, if this, in your week, you're gonna consider putting a liner in there?
The box,
yeah,
it's going to be completely work ready.
It's going to be.
It's going to have beacon lights on to it.
Oh, it says all the.
Yeah, and bring in the RFP on for the.
Yeah.
Maybe safety lights.
You box it in the logo one.
That'll be an after fact. We can put our logo in it after the fact, yeah.
Yeah, but LKX is going to have all the safety, using those and suffers.
That's correct.
Yeah, so.
If the direction is to pursue an RFP, we were targeting to come back on the 3rd of June to committee in the whole and.
Okay.
Maybe it can be earlier, but it.
Yeah.
If it takes that time.
Right.
That, yeah, takes a little.
There's.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work right now.
Yeah, and that makes sure that right enough is that maybe what could it aim.
Yeah, right. Anyway. 17:35, and I would entertain a motion for going cavern.
That motion.
That's your deal.
Second.
That people in the law, it wasn't there. Still 17:35.
It is 7:28, and on the motion of Councilor Connell, second by Deputy Ward Malloy, we are back in session, open session. Yeah, two recommendations. First one, Council award the design contract for the new multi-use community center in Ecom Secom to Inco Custom Designing in the amount of $69,550 plus HST to be funded by $60,000 provincial grant funding with remaining $9,550 to be funded through the municipal fire services operating grant. And I have a motion for that presentation.
I'll make that motion.
I'll say. Deputy Ward Malloy and Councilor Connell, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. Councilor Chambers abstained. Russian. Second, we have a recommendation that this council ratified the award for Davis McIntyre Associates to conduct an archaeological resource impact assessment on PID 37541620 at a cost of $6,749.22 plus HST.
I'll leave that.
Councilor Kubo?
I'll second.
Deputy Ward Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
That recommendation. The end of the agenda is 7:30 PM and we get the adjournment.